Okay.
有朋友让我谈谈啊。
I want to talk to my friends.
当年胡适先生作为中国政府代表团成员之一啊。
Mr. Hu Xi, as a member of the Chinese delegation,
却没有签署1945年的联合国宪章的事儿。
But they did not sign the UN Charter of 1945.
这件事确实属实。
This is indeed true.
胡适作为十人
So, as a group of 10 people,
中国代表团成员啊，全程参会。
All members of the Chinese delegation attended the meeting.
但是在1945年6月25日
However, on June 25, 1945,
签字仪式上却没有落笔签名。
There was no signature at the signing ceremony.
他在晚年口述的自传中明确称，时至今日
However, in his autobiography, he clearly stated until today.
我始终拒绝在联合国宪章上签名。
I have always refused to sign the UN Charter.
当时的中国首席代表宋子文也没有签字。
The Chinese chief representative Song Ziwo also did not sign.
但是他是因为赴莫斯科谈判这样的公务事宜缺席仪式，和胡适先生的情况不一样。
However, his absence from the ceremony was different from that of Mr. Hu Xi, who attended because he had to go to Moscow for official business.
而中国代表团其余的八人都签了字。
The remaining 8 members of the Chinese delegation also signed.
胡适先生拒绝签字。
Mr. Hu Xi refused to sign.
主要是基于两点。
Based on 2 main points.
一点是他反对联合国安理会表决机制中的大国一票否决权设计。
One of his objections was to the veto power of major powers in the UN Security Council's decision-making mechanism.
另一点是担忧不干涉内政条款。
Another concern is the non-interference in internal affairs clause.
可能纵容暴行。
May condone violence,
阻碍人权干预
prevent human rights interference.
那么对此
So, about that,
我谈谈自己的看法
I'd like to share my thoughts.
第一
First,
众所周知
as widely known,
我始终是胡适先生思想的赞赏者和追随者。
I have always been admirer and follower of Mr. Hu Xi's ideas.
他基于其自由主义的价值信仰出发啊。
Based on his liberal values.
希望支持一套尽可能完美的新国际秩序。
I hope to support a more perfect new international order.
这个愿望是无可厚非的。
This is a perfectly reasonable wish.
也是有着出色前瞻性的判断。
Also has excellent foresight.
这也是我之所以尊其为大师的原因之一。
This is also one of the reasons why I respect him as a master.
就个人价值理念而言
In terms of personal value,
我认同胡适先生的立场。
I agree with Mr. Hu Xi's position.
了解我一贯立场的朋友都知道
Friends who know me well will understand that.
我也一直在指出
I have also pointed out.
联合国在其制度设计之初就存在决策缺陷。
From the outset, the United Nations has had flaws in its design.
我形容安理会的一票否决机制是娘胎里带来的基因缺陷。
I would describe the veto power of the Security Council as a genetic defect brought about by the womb.
善良和有正义感的人都会希望这个世界上存在一套没有瑕疵。
Kind and just people will want a world where there is nothing wrong.
或者至少没有重大瑕疵的文明秩序体系。
Or at least a civilization order system with minimal flaws.
能够去解决所有层面的现实问题。
To solve all levels of real world problems.
这是我们 共有的理想。
This is our shared ideal.
第二
Second,
但是当理想和现实发生了碰撞
However, when ideals and reality collide,
尤其是涉及到大国博弈和利益平衡的棘手问题的时候
Especially when it comes to thorny issues involving great power competition and the balance of interests,
外交妥协是几乎不可避免的情况。
Diplomatic compromise is almost inevitable.
以联合国宪章为例
Taking the UN Charter as an example,
它也是妥协的产物。
It is also a product of compromise.
一票否决权是由苏联啊斯大林政府提出并强硬坚持要确立的机制。
The veto power was proposed.And insisted upon by the Soviet Stalinist government.
最终在1945年
Finally, in 1945,
雅尔塔会议上形成了大国一致原则。
The Yalta Conference established the principle of consensus among major powers.
也就是雅尔塔公式被写入联合国宪章。
This means that the Yalta Agreement was enshrined in the United Nations Charter.
斯大林政府直言
Stalin's government openly stated,
如果不设立这个机制
if this mechanism is not established,
他就拒绝加入联合国
he refused to join the United Nations.
因为在他看来
because in his view,
由于当时的安理会成员国中
Due to the fact that at that time, the members of the Security Council
除了苏联之外
besides the Soviet Union
都是西方主义阵营
all are in the Western camp
或者有赖于西方支援和保护的非苏联主义体制的国家
orCountries with non-Soviet systems that rely on Western support and protection.
这样的话
That being the case,
那就会势必导致苏联在涉及重大自身利益事项的表决中
This will inevitably lead to the Soviet Union's vote on major matters of its own interest.
处于经常性的绝对少数地位
Being in a prominent minority,
其利益和安全会受到威胁。
Their interests and safety are threatened.
因此
therefore,
必须设立一种保护大国
must establish a protective measure,
也就是战胜国权益的最后围栏
a last barrier to victory for the warring parties.
可见
visible,
当时联合国体制面临的局面很清晰。
The situation facing the United Nations was very clear at that time.
要么引入一票否决权
Either introduce a veto power
保障大国的特权
Protect the privileges of a great nation
要么让作为五大战胜国之一
Either become one of the five great powers
拥有广袤国土和强大实力的苏联
With its vast territory and strong power, the Soviet Union.
以及已经被他实质掌控的中东欧地区被排除在联合国体制之外。
And the Middle East and Eastern Europe, which have been effectively controlled by him and excluded from the United Nations system.
显然
Obviously,
西方国家在权衡利弊之后
After weighing the pros and cons, Western countries
认为
believe
如果联合国体制不包括世界上国土面积最大的苏联和重要的东欧地区
If the United Nations system does not include the largest country in terms of land area, namely the Soviet Union and important Eastern European countries,
那将大大弱化联合国的影响力。
This will greatly weaken the influence of the United Nations.
代表性和其追求战后和平新秩序的根本目的。
the fundamental purpose of representation and the pursuit of a new post-war order.
在苏联方面拒不让步的态度面前,
in the face of the Soviet Union's unyielding stance,
西方只能退而求其次,
the West can only retreat and seek alternatives.
选择务实主义思维, 两害,
choose pragmatism, two evils,
相权取其轻,
the power is light,
接受了现实力量博弈的结果。
Accepted the results of the power struggle between real forces.
所以可以说,
therefore, it can be said that
接受一票否决权,
to accept a veto power
是当时特定历史条件下无法避免的地缘政治结果,
is an inevitable geopolitical outcome under the specific historical conditions.
即便是不完美的秩序,
even if it's imperfect order,
总要好过于无法无天的丛林状态。
It should be better than the chaotic jungle state.
事实也证明了联合国体制和宪章精神。
Facts have also demonstrated the effectiveness of the UN system and its spirit enshrined in the charter.
确实在战后八十年发挥了决定性的秩序
Undoubtedly played a decisive role in establishing order after the war.
文明的保障作用。
The role of civilization.
那种轮回般的世界性冲突不再发生。
The kind of worldwide conflict that occurred in a cyclical manner no longer exists.
小国弱国的利益和安全得到了相当程度的保护和尊重。
The interests and security of small countries have been given a considerable degree of protection and respect.
基本上他们不需要像丛林时代那样。
Basically, they don't need to be as smart as in the smart era.
在大国面前惴惴不安。
Anxious in the face of a superpower.
这就是联合国体制不可磨灭的历史功绩。
This is the indelible historical achievement of the United Nations system.
直到今天,
Until today,
联合国宪章仍然是无可取代的国际秩序规范。
The United Nations Charter remains the indispensable norm of international order.
而且非常确定的是,
And it is very certain that
当时被两次世界大战摧残和折磨了那么久。
Having been so devastated and tormented by two world wars,
民生凋敝,
people are suffering,
百废待兴的世界,
a world full of potential,
没有人希望继续打仗或者重复上演全球战争的轮回悲剧了。
No one wants to continue fighting or repeat the tragic cycle of global wars.
至于不干涉内政原则,
regarding the principle of non-interference in internal affairs,
也是同样的道理。
The same goes for this.
一方面,
on the one hand,
这个原则本身是文明世界国家的普遍共识。
This principle is a common consensus among civilized countries in the world.
就像任何人都不希望别人干涉自己的私人事务一样。
Just as no one wants others to interfere in their private affairs.
另一方面,
On the other hand,
我多次指出过,
I have repeatedly pointed out that
国际法无法也不能去承担对各国自身政治体制优劣进行评价和介入的责任。
International law cannot and should not assume the responsibility of evaluating or intervening in the political systems of individual countries.
那从来都不应当是他的调整范围。
It should never have been within his scope.
国际法只能针对经调查核实的公认的严重侵犯人权、战争和反人类行为进行规制。
International law can only regulate serious violations of human rights and war crimes and crimes against humanity that have been verified.
这种需求催生了1949年的日内瓦公约及其附加议定书。
This demand led to the Geneva Conventions of 1949 and their additional protocols.
1948年的防止及惩治灭绝种族罪。
The Prevention and Suppression of Crimes Against Humanity.
公约等国际条约。
Treaties and other international agreements.
以及后来的历史发展中催生的保护责任。
And the subsequent historical developments that have led to the responsibility of protection.
第三。
Third.
胡适没有签署宪章。
Hu Xi did not sign the charter.
这只代表了他个人理想主义的自由观念。
This reflects his personal idealistic and free-thinking ideas.
但是当时中国仍以八人签署完成了国家确认程序。
However, at that time, China still completed the national confirmation process with an eight-person signature.
联合国宪章对包括中国在内的所有签署国家平等生效。
The United Nations Charter is in effect for all signatory countries, including China.
产生无可置疑的约束力。
Create undeniable constraints.
我相当确信的是，向来崇尚和坚守民主程序的胡适先生非常明白一个道理。
I am quite sure that Mr. Hu Xi, who always advocated and adhered to democratic procedures, would very well understand a principle.
你可以在表决时对议案的内容持保留或者反对的意见。
You can express your reservations or opposition to the content of the proposal during the vote.
但一旦议案获得多数通过，
However, once the proposal is passed by a majority vote,
你就必须无条件尊重和执行议案。
You must unconditionally respect and implement the proposal.
因为现代文明社会的意识规则，
Due to the rules of consciousness in modern civilized society,
决定了任何人不能仅因个人不同看法，
decided that no one should be denied the right to express their personal opinions,
就拒绝接受多数表决通过的法律。
Refuse to accept laws passed by a majority vote.
换句话说，
In other words,
你不能仅仅在法律符合自身期望和利益的时候，
You cannot simply act when the law aligns with your expectations and interests.
才尊重法律。
Respect the law.
这个道理是清晰无误的。
This principle is clear and correct.
如果你对规则不满，
If you are dissatisfied with the rules,
必须通过法定程序谋求修法，
must seek amendment through legal procedures.
在修法完成之前，
Before the method is completed,
任何人不能拒绝执行议定之法。
No one can refuse to comply with the agreement.
所以毫无疑问，
Therefore, without a doubt,
当联合国宪章作为被全世界最大多数国家接受和签署的战后秩序，
When the United Nations Charter was adopted and signed by the largest number of countries in the world, it became a cornerstone of post-war order.
基础性文件被确认生效之后，
Once the basic document is confirmed to be effective,
它就是需要得到各签约国充分的尊重和执行。
It requires the full respect and implementation by all signatory countries.
它就是一套基础的国际法律规则。
It is a set of basic international legal rules.
法理上，
legally,
此即为法治精神。
This is the spirit of the rule of law.
情理上
Logically,
你不能违背自己签字确认的承诺。
You cannot go back on a promise you have signed and confirmed.
此为契约精神，而恰恰是法治精神和契约精神。
This is precisely the spirit of the rule of law and the spirit of the contract.
才构筑了现代文明最具有说服力的内核。
This has formed the most persuasive core of modern civilization.
而诸如俄国当年入侵阿富汗。
And things like the Soviet Union's invasion of Afghanistan.
现在侵略乌克兰。以及川普的美国入侵委内瑞拉和伊朗，之所以遭到文明世界的坚决反对和抵制，道理
The invasion of Ukraine and the U.S.'s intervention in Venezuela and Iran, which are now being strongly opposed and condemned by the civilized world.
就是他们都违反了自己签署过的国际法文件。
They all violated the international law documents they signed.
这种显著的违法也是根本性的。
This is a significant violation and also fundamental.
背信行为是对契约精神和文明秩序的公然践踏。
Betrayal is a blatant violation of the spirit of contracts and the order of civilization.
我说过
I said,
无数次，人无信则不立。国
Countless times, people have established their nations based on trust.
无信就能被允许吗
？Without credibility, you can't be allowed.
我也相信。
I also believe.
这是胡适先生。
This is Mr. 胡适。
胡适先生必然会赞同和支持的态度。
Mr. Wu Xu would certainly agree and support it.